cross of Jesus.
Actually, it kind of has something else on my mind, but the Lord really inspired me with this yesterday. And Good Friday's coming up, so I think that it's appropriate. And I just thank the Lord for the song. Lots of times the Lord will deal with me with a song. Maybe a little bit later we'll sing, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?" It's in the Blue Book in 101. We'll sing that a little bit. But that song came to me so strong, and I started studying, and it's very interesting. Another scripture that's very familiar that I was going to read first was St. John 3. I want to read just a little bit above 16, but this is very, very important. St. John 3 and 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I just thank the Lord for that. I was thinking about the verses I was studying that. I might think about this a little bit. That God created man and woman. He created us, and he wanted us to love him, and he loved us. And we know the story about Adam and Eve and how they fell into sin and how he had to make a way for us. And it was kind of like the thought the Lord brought to my mind was like, he created us for his enjoyment. He wanted people to love him. But then when they were into sin, he thought, I'm going to have to do something for them or they'll perish. If you notice the word perish in that verse, I never thought about it that much like I did as I was studying this, but it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That was his purpose, that we would not perish. The definition of perish is suffer death, complete ruin or destruction, come to an end, pass away, disappear. I was thinking, you know, we are elevated above the animal world in that we have a soul. And when we die, we don't really perish completely because we're saved. Okay? We're saved because of the cross, because of the precious cross, because Jesus died on the cross. We have a hope of eternal life. That's what that verse stands out to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we should not perish. But we shall not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't want us to perish. He didn't want us to be just die and be buried in the ground and that's the end of us. He wanted us to have eternal life. It's almost like the thought came to me. It almost like he felt sorry for us. You know what I'm trying to say? We were born and he was enjoying it, but he knew that we have a lifespan on tombstones. You know, you got your date you were born and the date you died when you see people that you knew. And you don't see them anymore here. I mean, disappear is one of the words of perish. But yet we know that those that are saved and righteous will have eternal life. Not willing that we should perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It just seemed like that just really stood out to me. And also St. John 4 and 13, right across from there, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto her," talking about the story about the woman at the well, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." When a Christian is saved, you have that eternal spring in you. And, you know, I was telling Jerry on the way up here, I thought, we've been saved almost 50 years and almost married, you know, 50 years in November, Lord willing, because we got saved just a few days before we got married. He got saved on the 10th of November. I got saved on the 12th, and we got saved married on the 15th. So 50 years of being born again. I told Jerry, I said, I'm not that good on my own, you know. So I know that it's been the power of the blood that has kept me from sin for almost 50 years. Now, we're not boasting in ourselves. There's a scripture in Galatians 6 and 14 that says, no boasting. It's all about Jesus. It's all about that he died on the cross that this could happen to us. Galatians 6 and 14, it says here, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the Lord, unto the world. I mean, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But God forbid that I should glory, or God forbid that we should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus, just want us to, you know, I thought, you know, they call it Good Friday. And you think, well, it was such a bad day, you know, for Jesus to suffer so much, to be scourged back then was, I studied how they took a lead whip and beat him. And the Romans, it was like, remember when Paul said, they beat me 40 times, say one, 39 times was the, kind of like the standard of the Romans to flog someone like that on a bare back and whatever. Just horrible what he suffered even before he got carrying the cross. And we want to read that a little bit. But it's the Good Friday because he did this so we could be saved. And that's good. See what I mean? That is so good. It wasn't good that he suffered. We don't want to think about him just suffering. But we want to think about the power of the cross. The cross of Jesus. The power, not just the cross, but Jesus hanging on the cross. You know what I mean? Not the wooden beams, but him dying on the cross and shedding his blood that we could be saved. It's been so powerful that millions and millions and millions and millions, and even, you know, more maybe, you know, of people that have been redeemed by that power. And even you and I here today know what it is to experience the power of the blood of Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing that he done for us, and I just praise him today. In St. Luke 23 and 26, we want to read a little bit about this story. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But this story about Simon, he was a Simon of Cyrene. And I was studying this, and where did this man come from? Who was he? What was the purpose of the story? They had beaten Jesus so much that he was, they said a cross is about the weight of 300 pounds, somewhere in there. And the, like the middle section of the cross, you know, right there might be like 100 pounds of weight. But this, he wasn't a normal, healthy man at that moment. He was beaten. And so they said some people, when they're beaten like that, could die within a few hours to maybe in a couple days. Something like that. They'll die, just die. So they were, I don't think, you know, sometimes you think, well, the Roman soldiers, they were being like a compassion to have Simon help him. Or was it that? Or was it that they were so mean, I might say, they wanted him to die on the cross. They wanted him to be humiliated. They wanted him to make it. They didn't want him to fall dead carrying that cross too quickly. They wanted to make sure they got him on that cross so they're going to get some help. But that's how bad Jesus was. That he was beaten so bad that he was collapsing under that cross. But there's a story about that, I believe. He wants us to realize, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? See that song that we're going to sing a little bit here? Simon was from Cyrenian. Where was Cyrenian? They, some said 738 miles, some say 900 miles, but it was from North Africa. And the Cyrenians were Christian Jews. That earlier there was a man, he was like a king or something like, or general, but he had power. And he sent, there was about 100,000 Cyrenian Christians or Jews that were put on this place in North Africa. They were deported there on purpose. So they still, that's why he was in Jerusalem, because he was a, his Simon, the word Simon is a Hebrew name. It means to listen, to hear. It was, he was a Jew, he was a Hebrew name. He was a devout Christian, and he was not only just a devout Christian, he was a very dedicated Christian, because he took a ship or something and came over the Mediterranean Sea with a group of people to come to the Passover in Jerusalem. That's what he was doing there. I just don't think that God would just pick anybody to bear his cross. You know what I mean? To help him out? I don't think so. This man, and I believe if you study it, I'm going to read some scriptures, that the church knew him. I'm not saying positive, but I'll read you some scriptures. There were some Cyrenian Christians, and they mentioned his two sons, like as if you would say, Sister Marsha and Tammy, Jody, and Rhonda, because I'm in the church, and you would know that family. And they mention about his two sons, Alexandra and Rufus. But anyway, this is, if you notice here, it says, Simon the Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross. If he came over from the Mediterranean Sea, he would be at Joppa area. And then from there, from what I studied, that he would have to walk about 30 miles through dusty roads to get in this vicinity right there. But, you know, if we believe in the providence of God, believe that God chose this man, even though the Roman soldier tapped him on the shoulder, immediately he had to go do it, whether he wanted to do it or not. He had to carry that cross. You know, that was the rule. I mean, he had to do it because they asked him to do it. And it was like the thought come to us like this. At any time, we could be tapped on the shoulder. In other words, to bear a cross of some kind. And what I'm trying to say is, any time in our life, some things come up that's bearing a cross. It's hard to bear. And we need Jesus to help us, right? And so we don't know at any time when this can happen to us, when we're being called to bear our cross. And, you know, it says here that, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. After Jesus, that he was behind Jesus. There is just like us. We are called to follow him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we bear the cross. If we could sing that, it's in the Blue Book 101. I'd like to sing this song, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Precious cross.
I love this part. It says, O precious cross, O glorious crown. So, you know, that's the next Sunday. I'm sure you'll probably hear about the resurrection story about Easter. But, you know, there's a glory in this, too, that comes. See what I mean? And so, O precious cross, O glorious crown. What was interesting as I studied that song, the man that wrote this song was born in England in 1665. And he died in 1739, which would be almost 300 years ago. Isn't that amazing that he could write words that we connect with? All the people that have been saved, we can connect with, right? Millions already gone, but they had the same spirit. That came from original poem, which reads, this is very interesting, must Simon bear the cross alone and other saints be free? Each saint of thine shall find his own, and there is one for me. Where it falls unto my lot, let it not drive me from my God. Let me never be forgot till thou hast loved me home. I thought that was kind of interesting that they got that song from that poem written back then. So, must Simon bear the cross alone and other saints be free? Each saint of thine shall find his own, and there is one for me. But, you know, like we heard this some more in the Sunday school, we don't want it to cause us to fall away from God when that cross comes. Whene'er it falls unto my lot, let it not drive me from my God. Let me never be forgot till thou hast loved me home. You know, we don't know everyone exactly in all your crosses, but God does. And he understands. And he also understands how you bear it and how you suffer it and whatever. He has a way of meeting out happiness to us. And I don't, you know, I want to dwell on just the sadness or the suffering of things. But God has a special blessing in the cross. I don't know how to explain it except the thought is, look what came out of it that day. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say to the man? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Remember the thief on the cross? He said, Lord, remember me, in the 42nd verse of the 23rd chapter of Luke. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So we don't want to forget the glory of the cross. Yes, he died on it, but that power is so amazing. How someone can get down and pray a few words and ask God to forgive them of their sins and be sincere about it. And Jesus can wash their sins away. And we've also heard how many people that maybe they had a drug addiction or smoking cigarettes, whatever they might have, an alcohol problem, that they would get saved and God would wash it away. He would deliver them from all of it. And they were surprised in themselves at the new creature and the power of the blood, the power of the cross, of Jesus dying on the cross, the power that it produced in our lives. That's what I'm going to get a hold of today. And the story, just a little bit I wanted to read about, because it was so interesting, about Simon there, and you can kind of draw your own conclusion, but I want to read Mark 15:21, because, you know, it just came to me like, I don't think the Lord just happened chance to, or the Roman soldier just happened to chance to pick Simon. I believe God had it all planned. And, you know, he had to be there at the right moment and all that, you know. So Mark 15:21 says, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, or Simon from Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexandra and Rufus, to bear his cross. So why did they mention that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus? Now, you can do your own Bible study and study this out more. But I'm thinking that the church knew this man and knew this family. And there's another place Rufus is mentioned in Romans 16:13. Was this the same Rufus, the son of this man? Romans 16:13. There was many Christians that were called Cyrenians. Romans 16:13 says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Now, Paul was writing this, and I believe that somehow Rufus, his real mother was Rufus, but when he calls "and mine," I'm thinking more like, I'm not positive on this, but I think more of like a spiritual mother to Paul. But anyway, it's very interesting when you read these things about the Cyrenians. And then over here in Acts 11:20, just to kind of stir up our pure minds about this act and what it meant of carrying that cross. Acts 11:20, it says here, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene." See, Simon was from Cyrene, "which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." So the Cyrenians were Christians. You know, he was a very devout, dedicated Christian coming to Jerusalem, coming over the Mediterranean Sea, coming to go to that Passover that day, and just happened to be in that crowd. Well, not just happened to be. He was there because God purposed him to be there. But the Cyrenes were Christians. Like they said, about 100,000 Jews were put over there in that area of Cyrene in North Africa. Anyway, and then Acts 13:1, there's another place where it mentions Cyrenians. "Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets, teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene." So here it mentions again, Lucius of Cyrene. So it's just a thought about that, you know, but, you know, anyway, just the power of the cross. It's just so wonderful. You know, I'm just so thankful that I was ever able to find God and really get saved and really get born again. And the power of that blood has kept me almost 50 years now. And I'm not boasting, but like the scripture I read in Galatians, all glory be to God. It's not anything that we can boast about, but we only glory in the Lord. But the power of that blood has kept us, and you, not just me, but you and I that are really saved, the power of that blood has kept us from sin. It's not that we're just a good girl or a good young man or whatever. It is the power of the blood. It's not that we're just morally turned over our lives and changed on our own. It was God that created in us a new creature, and all things passed away, and behold, all things became new. And the one things that I used to love, I now hate, or I don't desire them anymore. But the Lord changed us, and it's all because of the power of the cross. Because the power that he died on that cross and shed his blood, that power in his blood. It's so great, isn't it? It's just so great that the blood could do such power. And you know, sometimes when we look on sinners or somebody that needs to get saved, let's remember where we came from, and God can do the same for them. All they need is the power of the blood to save them from sin and cause them to be a new creature. That's all they need. That's all they need. That's, you know, there's many different religions in the world and different churches and all that, that some man's ideas gets involved in it. But if we would just come down to the basic, simple gospel that Jesus died on the cross, that man and woman could be saved, right? And the power of that blood can save us from sin, and he can make us a new creature. And I know there's other people that are saved all over the world, and God knows who they are. And they're all in his church, his one church. They're all make up the church of God. We don't just have a little group that we know. It's more than that, right? But we're so thankful for this group. We're so thankful that we know the saints and that we understand the truth. That's a wonderful blessing. It's amazing how God revealed the truth to me and brought me out of, I was raised, I might say, in sectism, but when I got saved, I never was in it after that. I started attending a little chapel there that they had in the basement in Michigan right away after I got saved. So I can't really say I came out of sectism, but yet I was taught some of that, you know, growing up. But I'm so thankful that the Lord revealed a vision of the truth and gave me that understanding. I mean, I'm not capable of doing this on my own. I know it's the power of the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful that the Lord has kept us and gave us such a wonderful life. And, you know, even with the cross of saints that we bear from time to time, it's nothing to be compared to the glory that's involved in it. You know what I'm trying to say? Some of the hardest places I've been in, God has visited me and gave me such a glorious blessing that it just surpassed everything that I went through. So I just thank the Lord today for the cross of Jesus. And there's another song that I'd like to sing. It's 116, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died. My richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love is amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. It's just something you just never get over. You just never get over it. The power of the blood of Jesus, the power of his cross. I'm so thankful. I love Easter celebrations. I love it because this is the story of the cross and the resurrection. And it's our whole life. The gospel is built on that, really. It's all built on that, about getting saved and following the Lord and following our, taking up our cross. So let's sing that song, 116, together. I love that song.
Dreadless cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, contempt on all my pride. Forbid it,
scripture I want to leave you with in Proverbs 10 and 7. It says, the memory, I just want to get the first part of that, the memory of the just is blessed. I was thinking about the thought about remembering what Jesus did for us. He is blessed. And I was thinking about my little granddaughter came over the other day and spent some time with me, and I was bringing out some old pictures that I had, some photographs that actually my cousin Kathy that I mentioned that was so close to me. The reason I got these photographs, because one day she says, let's go through your mom's photographs, and if we want some pictures, borrow them for a little while, and we'll go down to I think we went down to Walmart back there in West Virginia, and we'll make copies of them. I can have some, and you can have some. We'll have copies of some of our favorite pictures. So I've got a big envelope of these pictures, because my mom is still living, so I we're going to look at pictures later. But I got these pictures because of my cousin Kathy. So I was spreading it out there. I like to look at my grandmother's once in a while, this. And I was telling her, this is my grandmother. And I was telling her about my grandmother, how she made the best chicken and dumplings. They were just so tender and soft inside. And my grandmother did amazing things. She could sew really beautiful, and she could cook wonderful. And I was telling her, and she goes, what is your grandma to me? But I kind of made a mistake there. I said, it wasn't great-grandma, it'd be great-great-grandma. But she was looking at her, and my grandfather, and my other grandmother, and I was telling her about these stories. And we were having a memory, right? A memory. And I was thinking about how important it is to remember the just in our life, the people that are righteous that have passed on, but most of all, to remember Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. I think this is a wonderful time of year, as spring is coming, to remember what Jesus did for us in his resurrection. So I'm so glad I got to share a little bit of the Easter message with you, because I love Easter. I love what it stands for, and I'm so thankful to be with you today. And I pray that some of these thoughts will help you, that if you have to bear something hard, that God will help you with your cross, and he'll help you through it. He can always help me many times. God bless you.